Do you want to know what's going on in the world of pop culture? Well, then you need to download my podcast, Brandi Glanville Unfiltered. I talk about all things pop culture. We have amazing celebrity guests. I ask the questions everyone is afraid to ask. So listen to Brandi Glanville Unfiltered every week on podcastone.com or on the Podcast One mobile app.
Coming to you live from the North Pole, it's a Happy Holidays 5. And now here's a guy whose holiday traditions include watching Survivor Millennials versus Gen Xmas. Rob Sestrino, hello everybody, and welcome to our Happy Holidays special here on the podcast. It's actually year number 5. 5 golden dings. Yep. So this is year number 5 of the holiday special on Rob Has a Podcast. It really started off back in 2012 as I wanted to do another show, and it's really snowballed off the cliff into many different levels of insanity over the years. And I'm back once again with one final show before we get to the Christmas and the Hanukkah coming up. So this is our show. It's probably a little shorter than some of the shows I've done in years past. I have been without a voice for the first part of the week and still not exactly all the way back. So I hope you understand if I'm sounding still a little bit hoarse as we get through our holiday spectacular today. It's going to be hopefully a lot of fun, very silly, and hopefully something fun to have on in the background as you're doing whatever last minute holiday preparations you have going on your end. Of course, a big, big thanks to all of you guys who have been using our links for Amazon.com all throughout this holiday season. Greatly appreciated. If you have returns or a need to pick something else up over the rest of the holiday, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon is that link. robhasawebsite.com/Amazon.ca for our friends in Canada. We've got a lot of fun stuff also coming up over the off-season break. So hopefully you guys will stick with us well into the new year as we get ready for the upcoming Survivor season, which is getting started in March, and then all the coverage that we're going to have on in January and February. So don't think we're going to slow down for 1 second once we hit 2017. All right. So my first guest here joining us on the podcast is someone who has appeared before on the Happy Holidays special, but it's been a minute since we have gotten into everything with him. Please welcome back a man with another one of his famous holiday themed quizzes, the Tabulator, Kurt Clark. Tabulator, how are you?
I am amazing. How's it going?
Oh, very good. Very good. Very happy to have you back. It's been some time since we had one of your famous holiday quizzes, one of your famous homemade holiday quizzes this time of year.
Yeah, it's. I think it's been a few years. I think it was like 2013 or 2014. It was whatever year the Quest and Utopia was on. But yeah, it was a bit, like I said, a banner year, and now we're back for some more.
We're back for some more here for seconds or even thirds. Who knows? But very excited. Kurt, great to see you last week when you were in L.A. for the finale. We got to escape a room.
Yes, yes. I think we did it in nearly record time, I'm sure.
Yes. And of course, a big month coming for all of the Kurt fans out there.
Both of them.
Yes, both of them. Some big news. Kurt, what do you have in store for the RHAP fans? What's in their stocking for January?
Well, I think the Top Chef Roundtable, which features both, you know, Antonio Mazzaro kind of heads it up along with Josh Wigler, Mike Bloom, and myself. I think last year we kind of had to pump the brakes for a couple of weeks over the holidays, but this year it's like barreling straight through. We're actually recording that tomorrow, and it just continues on and into January. So we've got Top Chef going on. I believe that we see some coverage of the new show Hunted.
Yes.
Yes. See if the Clark curse is back in full swing for that.
Hunted Ellis, I think is what it's called.
Oh, great.
Yes.
a little bit of Marquesas twist there. And then it looks like we are going to actually see the return of the Celebrity Big Brother UK podcast. Alex Kidwell and myself are planning on covering that. We've got a couple sets of familiar faces on that, rumored, supposedly. I think we're looking at a Spidey return, and supposedly, yes. Go ahead. Yeah.
Is the theme Game Changers? Is that what they're doing for Celebrity Big Brother UK?
Yes, Game Changers. And I think Nikki Graham is rumored to be back as well. So the fact that there are kind of some familiar faces to the RHAP listening audience has kind of said, you know what, let's kind of dust the cover off of the Celebrity Big Brother podcast and see what's kicking for a few weeks in January.
Okay, so a lot of fun stuff in the new year, and I will at least be getting that podcast started off with Kurt coming up in January. And we're also going to be joined on that podcast by another person, Liana from the So You Think You Can podcast competition, will be joining us to talk about Hunted coming up in January. So very much looking forward to that. But Kurt, let's get into the task at hand. You have, from what I understand, prepared something for today.
Yes. In the past, for the Rappy Holidays quiz, we've looked at which reality contestants, alumni of the reality circuit, what they have wanted in their stocking under the tree, lit by the menorah, what have you, for the holidays. What gifts they were looking for. We did a little twist on it this year. We've kind of got the 12 goals of New Year's instead of the 12 days of Christmas. We're kind of looking at goals and resolutions for people in the RHAP reality family.
Kurt, I'm very big on setting goals. I'm very big on trying to come up with goals for every new year. So I'm excited to try to dig into what other people are thinking about in terms of the goals that they would like to achieve in 2017.
Yeah, this should be interesting. We've got 12 questions for you. And we'll say that if you get six or more right, you come out a winner in this one.
Only six? I mean, that seems so easy.
Every year, Rob, when we do with these, whether it's gifts or Halloween costumes, at least like three questions in, you start giving me crap about how am I supposed to know that? So, I've listened to the This Week in Survivor History quiz time with Jordan Kalish. So I you're not fooling me. You're not fooling me. You're nice now, but you're going to turn naughty.
All right. I mean, as long as the questions are sound, I mean, I don't see why I have a problem. Wait.
What do you mean as long as the questions are sound? These are their honest to God responses. And I purposefully try to come up with questions and with answers that are going to fool you. So,
right. Okay. Well, we don't need to get into the controversy from the final This Week in Survivor History, but I think that there was, I thought there was widespread support for my argument in going back to that podcast.
Fair enough.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Kurt, where do you want to start?
Let's start with the first question.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. We're going to start with some Big Brother. And just for everybody's knowledge, I think the last time I did this, we had like, you know, Paladin Bonnie from The Quest and Side Boob Sam from Opposite Worlds. Even like, you know, Jale from Big Brother UK. No, this is all people that a majority of our audience are going to be familiar with. So I just want to put everybody's mind.
Okay. All right. So you didn't go super obscure this year.
I did not go super obscure this year. No. Okay. In fact, we are starting actually with one Ian Terry.
Oh, okay. Great. Ian Terry. How's he doing?
He seems to be doing pretty well. I think he's got to be on, I guess, probably, you know, winter break right now in terms of the holidays for school. So,
okay. All right.
So you ready? I'm gonna give you four choices for each of these.
All right.
One of them is again, I framed it up as what is a goal or resolution that you have for yourself for 2017.
Okay.
Okay. Here are the choices. One, to more consistently play backgammon.
Mm-hmm.
Two, read two books each month. Three, get a girlfriend who's an 8 or greater on a 10-point scale. 4, get at least 75% of his AP students to pass the AP physics test.
Okay. Let's talk this through. I feel like that the backgammon is too on the nose. I feel like that if you were going to make up a fake answer, I feel like that would be backgammon. So I'm going to eliminate that one. The second one was to read two books a month. Yep. The third one was to find a girlfriend who is an 8 or higher. Yep. I think that is not, that can't be right. And Ian Terry, I think, would probably, I think he would date a seven. I think that that would be fine. So I'm going to rule that one out. And then what was the last one that he wants his students, 75% of his students to pass?
Yeah.
Hmm. That sounds plausible as well. I'm going to go with the students just because I think that that's something that he would be focused on. The reading two books a month, maybe that's too basic. I'll go with final answer, getting his students to pass the test.
He wants to more consistently play backgammon.
Ah, Ian, come on. Come on.
Okay. We're not starting out good here, Rob.
Yeah.
I've got like a sulkiness measure that I'm kind of trying to track here. Like, so far Rob's doing good.
Yeah.
not too salty.
Okay. Well, let me get my my Brett sound effects ready to go.
Okay.
Give me a break.
Yeah. Come on, Ian Terry. All right. Fair enough. All right. Just one question down.
Okay. Okay. We've got 11 more.
Do I have lifelines?
No, I'm not okay. Jordan.
Okay.
What's up with that?
Just checking. I had to remember what the rules were.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Second up, we're going over to Survivor.
Okay.
Denise Stapley.
Okay.
Okay. What is one of her goals or resolutions for 2017? One, to go storm chasing. Two, to visit 10 college campuses with her daughter. Three, to not eat her weight in gummy bears and Cheetos. Or four, to get published.
Her goal could be to A, visit 10 colleges. Is that right?
That was when, yeah, visit 10 college campuses with her daughter.
B, go storm chasing. Mm-hmm. C, not eat her body weight in gummy bears and Cheetos. Mm-hmm. Or D was...
Get published.
Well, get published with what? What is she writing? I will say that in my head, I could see Denise saying that she would not want to eat her body weight in gummy bears and Cheetos.
Okay. Final answer?
That is my final answer.
You are correct.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Yes.
Oh.
Ding, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Yes. Okay, good.
I was hoping we were going to get a Wanner soundbite there, so... Yeah. I was hoping that was going to be it.
You got it. All right. So Kurt, all right. So I'm 50%, right yeah. at where I need to be.
Yeah, exactly. You need to trade off one right for every wrong one you get. And we've got 10 more to go.
Keeping the pace.
Exactly. This is a sprint, not a marathon, but that'd be the opposite of what I was trying to say.
Okay.
Okay. Next up, back to Big Brother.
Okay.
We're talking to winner Andy Heron.
All right.
What is his goal or resolution for 2017? Is it to do a complete wardrobe overhaul,
mm-hmm.
to get LASIK surgery, to eat vegetarian at least once a week, or go to Japan?
Ooh. Eating vegetarian once a week is like, that doesn't seem like much of a goal. Maybe the whole day? Is he saying the whole day? Is it one meal?
I did not press the issue.
I mean, that seems easy. Like, oh, I just have spaghetti. that seems like, okay, I ate vegetarian at that meal. Go to Japan is interesting to me. Get LASIK surgery is interesting. But didn't he already get LASIK surgery? And what was the other one?
To do a complete wardrobe overhaul.
Complete wardrobe overhaul. Is that a resolution?
So I framed it up as resolution or goal.
Resolution or goal.
Some people interpreted it how they wished to.
Yeah. Boy, the LASIK thing is sort of like sticking in my mind, but I'm not sure if it's something that he was already doing. I'll say the LASIK surgery, just because I feel like that I have something in my mind connecting him with that. So that will be my answer. Final answer.
Go to Japan.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prove that.
All right. Andy Heron going to Japan.
Yes. Okay. That means keeping pace. You're going to get this next one right. So okay. I have every confidence in you.
Yeah.
again, swinging back to Survivor, the young lad, Spencer Bledsoe.
Okay.
Okay. What is Spencer hoping to do in the new year? One, meditate every day.
Yes.
Two, eat less fried food. Three, explore more of Chicago and become an expert on the city. Or four, to meet fan favorite Sierra Dawn Thomas.
He's probably met her at some point, I would think. I would say, I mean, does he really need to see more of Chicago? I mean, I feel like he could just do that. So for me, it's between A and B, to eat less fried food or to meditate. I would think, based on his new venture that he has been, you know, working very hard at, I feel like that Spencer would want to meditate once a day. I think that would be important to him, be a good goal for any person to have. And I will say A.
Final answer?
That is my final answer.
You are correct.
Ding, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Okay. See, it's the Survivors. I know. It's his Big Brother people that you throw me off with.
Yeah, yeah. It's the Sierra Dawn Thomas one was mine.
I got that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know I'm a big SDT fan.
Sure, sure. I mean, who isn't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Next up, we're moving away from Survivor and moving away from Big Brother. And I thought we'd have a voice on here, some representation from someone we haven't heard from in a while. Jessica Lease.
Oh. I think you're going to say Cam from Whodunit.
No. I did think about that. But it's been a while since we've heard from Jessica. So
yes. How is she doing?
She's doing well.
Yes.
But you know what, Rob? She has something she's looking to do in the new year.
Okay.
What is it? Is she looking to find a Mommy and Me kickboxing class?
Yeah.
Is she looking to eat less street food? Is she looking to brush up on her Spanish? Or is she looking to get published?
Ooh, Okay, what is she writing? I would have to imagine there is not Mommy and Me kickboxing. That seems that's too rough. That Nicole used to do Mommy and Me yoga, and I think that was just like the babies would just like crawl on you. Kickboxing seems very dangerous to be doing all that kicking with the babies around. Street meat, it's possible. That's possible.
But to be fair, street food.
Street food. Okay. Street food. And that's food that you find on the street?
Well, like food trucks.
Okay. Then what was number three?
Brush up on her Spanish.
Brush up on her Spanish. I would be under the impression that Jessica Lease's Spanish would be perfect all year round.
Bueno?
Yes. The get published is interesting to me. Maybe with having a baby. Maybe she's been writing. You've lured me to get published. I'll go with D.
She's looking to brush up on her Spanish.
Oh.
I'd have to check my Facebook messages specifically, but I believe that her newborn George is correct, right?
Yes,
is going to be going to I can't remember if it's like bilingual daycare. I apologize, Jessica, that I'm completely mismatching this on memory, but she's figured that he's going to be exposed to Spanish more, so she needs to brush up on her own.
All right, there you go.
Okay, so again, we're keeping pace here. This is good.
Yes.
This is good.
Apparently.
Okay.
Okay.
You ready to go back to Big Brother?
Ready.
You ready for a little Big Brother OTT?
Oh, come on. Every time I think I'm out.
So, what is a New Year's goal or resolution from Jason Roy? Is it?
You got a hold of him.
Yeah.
Yes. And he knew what this was for?
Just, yeah.
Okay.
I clarified RHAP.
Okay.
Okay. See, look at, is it cooking more and eating takeout less?
Yes.
Taking the stairs instead of the elevator whenever possible, well, within reason. Sticking to the budget he sets for himself in January, regardless of what tempts him. Or D, actually, I'm not sure, he didn't get back to me.
Oh, tabulator. This is... All right. Could you give me A, B, and C again?
Sure. Cooking more and eating takeout less. Taking the stairs instead of the elevator whenever possible, well, within reason. Mm-hmm. Sticking to the budget he sets for himself in January, regardless of what tempts him. Do you need D again?
No.
Okay.
Boy, the last part of B is such an interesting wrinkle. Could you read that response one more time?
Taking the stairs instead of the elevator whenever possible, well, within reason.
Yeah. I'm tempted to say D, but just that last part about B seems, you know, I'll tip my cap to you if you made that up, tabulator. I'll go with B. So,
actually, he didn't get back to me.
Yeah.
To
be fair, it was like literally 4 hours ago that I reached out to him. And there were several other people who also didn't get back to me. So I'm not knocking him for not getting back to me. It was short notice. I just want to make that clear.
Okay.
So I will, if I do hear back from him, I will share the response with the team.
Update the record.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Oh, yeah. If it ends up being, you know what? I want to take the stairs.
Yeah.
Then you will retroactively get the point.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Kurt.
I'm sensing a little saline.
Yes, now I can relate.
Because nothing ever goes my way in this game.
Yes. Now I'm very upset. All right. So now what do I have to do? Now I only have 2 right and 4 wrong. There's only 6 questions left.
Not co wrong.
Yes. So I need to get 4 out of the final 6.
Yeah. No yes, no yes, no no. You need to get these next 2.
Okay.
You can keep pace.
All right.
Okay. You okay?
I'm okay.
Okay. Aubrey Bracco.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's she hoping for in 2017? To drink more water every day? To get through her entire Netflix queue? To become a pro on the bar trivia circuit? Or to eat less red meat and fewer kebabs and skewers?
Now, I believe that D could be a reference to her buddy, Joe Del Campo. One, she wants to drink more water. I believe that was the same problem that plagued her in Survivor Ko Rong's premiere episode. I feel like that would be an ironic choice. She wants to be an expert on the bar trivia circuit is interesting, or get through her Netflix queue. A lot of good stuff on Netflix.
There is.
I feel like I'm between bar trivia and the Netflix queue. I'll go with the bar trivia, Kurt.
It was to eat less red meat, Rob.
Oh, maybe she was being funny.
I didn't get that sense. She did a little bit later in the chat reference the Joe Del Campo. It sounds like the kebabs and skewers. It sounds like something she's legitimately trying to do for the new year.
Yeah, well, she's been affected by it more so than anybody else that we've talked to. So, okay. I get it. I get it.
Okay,
bro. I know.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So we have 5 left. You have to get 4 of these.
All right.
And I already know you're not going to like this next one.
Oh, boy.
Had a little chat with Audrey Middleton.
Okay.
She is trying to develop which supernatural or psychic ability in 2017.
Come on. Is this a real thing?
This is what she said. Okay. I'm going with her answer. It's put yourself in her mind and say, what is it that she would like to develop within herself in 2017?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I gave you warning. You're not going to, I just knew with the nature of the question, you weren't going to enjoy this. Okay. Is she hoping to be able to will herself into invisibility? Is to travel back in time 2 minutes whenever she wants? To blow up the brains of all of her enemies with her untapped telekinetic abilities?
Yeah.
Or to intuitively and accurately tell when someone's lying?
Well, why don't we just have a question that's like, I asked Audrey to pick a number from 1 to 10,000. What number do you think she picked? Is it 7? Is it 496? Is it 783 or 900?
Beep, beep. That's the salt meter. I'm sorry. Can you repeat what you just said?
How could I know this? How could I know this answer?
Well, because I think, you know, if somebody answers this question, they're doing it from the perspective of, like, you know, who they are deep down as a person. So, I mean, it's not like the answer is completely unrelated to her psyche. So,
and what are the choices again?
Okay. to will herself into invisibility, to travel back in time 2 minutes whenever she wants, to blow up the brains of her enemies with her untapped telekinetic abilities, or to intuitively and accurately tell when someone's lying.
I'll say D, to intuitively and accurately tell when someone is lying.
You sure you want to stick with that answer?
Sure.
It was to blow up the brains of all of her enemies. Okay, you okay?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we continuing?
Can I say that? Do I have to run the table to win, or am I already lost?
You have to run the table to win.
Okay. All right. So
there really is very little wiggle room.
All right, Kurt.
Okay. I have faith in you.
All right.
Okay. I think you'll get at least two of these next four.
Okay.
Okay. Corinne Kaplan.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
What's one of Corinne's goals for the upcoming year? One, to double up on gluten.
Mm-hmm.
Two, to make more older friends so she's the quote-unquote young one when they go out.
Mm-hmm.
Three, to lose the one or two filters she has left between her brain and her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Four, to get published.
Well, I can't imagine she wants more gluten. I feel like that she would probably want to have less gluten. I know she doesn't even like water. So why does she want more gluten?
I'm glad I didn't put the drink more water one in here then, because I did not know that.
I wish you would have. Does she want to get published? I mean, has she written something to get published? I don't know if she has
a
manuscript that she's working on. The other two, be the young one in the group of friends. That is interesting, but I don't know if she necessarily wants to be hanging out with older people. I think she wants to still try to run with.
She likes Dale.
Yeah. Yeah. She is like older. Yeah. But I don't know if she wants to hang out with them. And what was the other choice?
To lose the one or two filters that she still has in place.
I feel like that's what she would say. Maybe it's an elaborate hoax, but I'll go with that, Kurt.
She wants to make more older friends, Rob. Okay. We're plowing forth.
No pumpkin, no.
I was trying to guide you there.
Yeah.
You didn't fall for the get published one. I'm proud of you there, but I was trying to guide you with the Dale comment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Christmas spirit. Holiday season. Okay.
Yes.
Let's see if we can how high we can get the score.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Next up, we have Veto King James Ryan.
Okay. I think I know what his New Year's resolution is. I don't think I need the choices.
Okay. But can I give you the choices?
Sure.
Okay. One, getting on Big Brother OTT 2.
It's not that
two,
one.
Two, becoming an ordained minister.
It's not that one.
Three, visiting a foreign city that he's never been to before.
Probably not that one.
Four, I got some vague drunken text back about welcoming the girls of Big Brother 19 to the Big Brother family.
My question is, though, is that a resolution? It's like, my resolution for 2017 is, I think I'd like the podcast in 2017. Like, does that count as a New Year's resolution?
Well, that's what I say, a resolution or goal. That's how I framed it up.
A goal?
Again. Yes.
Okay. Be an ordained minister seems like that he could do that pretty easily. What was the first and the third one?
Getting on Big Brother Over the Top 2.
No, stop it. There is not going to be a Big Brother Over the Top 2.
Visiting a foreign city that he's never been to before.
Why is it a foreign city that he's never been to? It's gotta be D.
It was the foreign city.
What foreign city?
Some people like to leave the house, Rob.
Yeah.
Come on.
Are there Big Brother contestants living in those foreign cities?
He said he's never been. He's like, it's about time he wants to go on a real vacation.
Oh, wait, hold on. Does Canada count? Like, is he going like the Big Brother Canada 5 after party?
Wants to visit a foreign country that he's never been to visit a city he's never been to. You know, the guy needs a real vacation.
Okay.
He's working nonstop in Vegas.
All right.
You okay?
No.
I have a feeling this may be the final version we see the holiday quiz.
Okay. All right. What else you got, Kurt?
Okay. Number the 11th goal of New Year's. This is from Nick Idanza.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Someone you've spoken to relatively recently, someone you've gotten to know over 53 days and 1700 episodes. What is his goal or resolution for 2017? Are you ready?
Okay, ready.
So is it A, to perfect his microphone technique?
Mm-hmm.
B, to learn how to tango, but like remedial tango. C, to move off the grid and listen to more vinyl. Or D, whatever his fiance tells him his resolutions are.
Well, he does have a wedding coming up. That would be good if he could learn how to dance. I'll say it's B.
Perfect his microphone technique.
No. It's a tango.
No, the microphone technique was the right answer.
Well, maybe he was joking with that.
No. He says he feels he sounds like Tony Vlachos when he finds an idol. Like he's concerned, I think, a little bit about his microphone technique before he starts potentially doing some podcasting in the new year.
Okay. Boy. Okay. Kurt, this is a disaster.
Maybe next year I'm going to knock it down to 3 choices.
It's a complete and total meltdown.
It started off so good.
Yeah.
It's like the Big Brother OTT of quiz shows. Okay. Lastly. Someone you've spoken with a lot this year.
Yes.
Josh Wigler. Yes. Wrapping up with Josh. He has a goal of interviewing one of the following in 2017. Who is it? You ready?
Ready.
Is he hoping to interview Damon Lindelof, creator of Lost?
Mm-hmm.
B, Robert Kirkman of Walking Dead fame?
Mm-hmm.
C, Josie Smith-Mallet from Top Chef? Or D, Nick Majorano of the Mayo Jar?
Okay. Well, he's already interviewed Nick Majorano.
Okay.
My question is, is he that concerned about talking to Robert Kirkman? Let's see. I don't listen to the Top Chef stuff, so I don't know necessarily. I'm sure everybody else should. I just the cooking. Right. Shows are just not my thing. I'll say it's A, because that makes the most sense, but you could easily be tricking me with this. But apparently it doesn't take much.
You are correct.
Yes, okay.
Especially, I think, with the season 3 of The Leftovers coming.
Yes,
he was very interested in that. No. Josie, just for your edification, is like, she who shall not be named is kind of how we refer to her in terms of...
Oh, he doesn't chef. Like She's, her.
Oh, no one.
No bad, one likes
bad,
her.
Bad experience. Okay.
What, you guys had a bad experience with her?
Well, no, in terms of the show, in terms of like her character on the show, not a great character to watch. You know what? We can turn. I'm gonna give you one bonus question.
Okay.
If you get this right, you can turn it all around.
Okay.
I will say that this is worth 3 points.
3 points. Okay.
Yes.
And Christmas we'll call, miracle.
We'll call it a draw. I was checking my Twitter inbox. And I actually got a response from Jason Roy.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, okay. So which of these is, thank you. Which of these is, his actual resolution? 1 second.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. A, to start his Christmas shopping earlier. This year was a nightmare. B, to move somewhere warm. C, to start a swear jar and give the funds to charity at year's end. Or D, just kidding, he still didn't get back to me.
I mean, it would be really amazing timing if in the 10 minutes since we had his question, he decided to get back to you. That would be pretty amazing.
10-minute miracle, Rob. My nickname.
No, if he didn't get back to you already, I can't imagine that it happened in the 10 minutes that since we asked the question. I will say it's D.
You're gonna, that's your final answer, D.
Yes.
You are correct.
Yes.
Ding, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Congratulations. We're calling this one a draw.
That's a card. Come on. I don't need your charity. I'm a loser. Look.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Chalk this up to 2016.
I think next, maybe I'll have to explore some of this with Jordan, Kalish, see if I do some sort of 50-50s, maybe narrow it down to three choices instead of four.
Yeah.
We need to help you out next year.
Yeah. I mean, it is very hard when it's like,
oh yeah,
you know, just guessing like what these people are, you know, randomly talking about. It's a very difficult game. I mean, if anybody, look, I'd love to hear from you guys who are playing along. How many you guys got right?
I just think that I'm good at coming up with believable answers. That's
you are. Like, you are. It's just that we're, you know, I'm guessing things that there's no possible way I could know.
Like, I think you're, but I think I'll give you that. I think like your logic during the Spencer question was good, but I think that just happened to be something where the resolution tied into something you knew about him recently. Mm-hmm. But I think you would have been able to guess that Audrey wanted to blow people's brains up. I mean, come on.
I guess so. You're right. What was I thinking?
But that's results oriented thinking. So I shouldn't be making that argument.
Yeah. Yeah. Eliza didn't have any resolutions.
Yeah. I did not reach out to Eliza. That was a shortcoming on my part.
Okay. All right. What about Stephen Fishback? No goals?
I did reach out to him, but I did not hear back. I did not hear Fishback.
Yes. Vintage Fishback. What about Christy from Australian Survivor?
I thought about reaching out to her. I don't think she would have remembered me from the finale this past week. But I thought about doing something where you had to kind of pick like Nick or Christy in terms of like which the... Like, what did they say? And they kind of do some sort of matching thing. But no, I did not reach out to Krista.
Okay. All right. Well, Kurt, very excited to get back to podcasting with you coming up in 2017 when we talk about hashtag hunted. Very exciting.
I'm expecting nothing but awesomeness.
Yes. We'll see if the Clark curse strikes in 2017.
We're going to make a brand new start of it.
Yeah, we'll make a brand new start of it. All right, Kurt. Of course, you could follow the great at Kurt Clark on Twitter. And Kurt, anything else?
No, I think we've about covered it. Thanks for inviting me to give this a shot and letting me get a chance to put it together.
Yes, Kurt, very happy holiday to you and yours this holiday season. And I'll talk to you in 2017.
Yep, you take care.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, there you have it. The tabulator, Kurt Clark here. Not hard to tabulate the results of how I did on his latest holiday quiz. Better luck next year, I guess. All right. So speaking of tabulating, we have another guest coming up here, which is something a little bit different. A lot of you guys know that I am friends with poker player extraordinaire Jason Somerville, and he's done some interesting research projects before on the podcast, and some of the data people that he's worked with knew somebody who is responsible for a lot of the calculations that go on behind the scenes in all the different seasons of Survivor. So let's welcome to the podcast one of the numerical consultants who works on the show of Survivor, Numbers Loophole. Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays to you, Rob.
Yes, Numbers Loophole. Wow.
It's me. Numbers Loophole. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Numbers Loophole?
I'm doing great. You know, I start celebrating the 12 days of Christmas early. I got about 40 days of Christmas because I'm Numbers Loophole.
Wow. So you fit 40 days of Christmas into the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah, it's a very efficient process. I got a lot of merriness and jollity into a very short amount of time. I figured out all the angles. I know all the angles.
So, Numbers Loophole, you're interested in Survivor?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've actually worked on Survivor in sort of an informal capacity, you might say. I don't, I'm not on staff. You know, you're not going to see my name listed in the credits. But I'm usually found around location where they're taping Survivor. And, you know, I know how to offer a couple suggestions, whisper a well-placed tip into a sympathetic ear now and then, and I'm ready to come out from behind the curtain because, you know, I've influenced many of the greatest, most popular moments in Survivor.
What moments did you influence?
Oh, more moments than you can count. Not more moments than I can count.
Of course not. Yes. Yeah.
Well, sure. I mean, heck, who do you think was the first person to suggest there should be a final three in front of the jury?
Yes, that was you?
Me. Numbers loophole.
Yes.
I was like, I said to him, I said, look, final two. How long have we been doing final two? I got an idea for you. Final three. It's like a final two, but with one more person. Final three.
Well, so you've improved the game as it's gone along.
Oh, yeah. I'd say I've improved. And that was just in Cook's Island 1.
Yeah.
I ain't even told you what I'd done for all the other Survivor Cook's Island.
Yes, that's very impressive.
Oh, yeah. I know all the angles. I got the inside scoop.
So what else have you done on the show?
Oh, anything that involves numbers is usually me.
That's
you.
You
know, I got a little worried when your friend Chaos Cass tumbled to my, you know, the reason that the same number is on the combination lock in every Survivor challenge. I got a little apprehensive when she figured that out and tipped off all the future contestants. So I might have to switch it up. But yeah,
that was true?
Me. I said, just use the same numbers on every combo lock.
Yeah, I thought that people had gone back and disproven that.
Nah. Where are you getting your news from, Rob? That's fake news.
Facebook.
Listen,
yeah.
Take it from me. Numbers loophole.
So why are all the numbers the same? Why do you only use the same combination on all the locks? Numbers loophole.
My lucky numbers.
Lucky numbers.
Yeah, it's my ATM pin also.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't say that.
Oh, crap. Can you edit that part out?
Sure.
Okay. Whoopsies.
Sure. How did you get the job working on all the numbers on Survivor?
Oh, well, you know, I've been working around. You know, I do a lot of events in Las Vegas. So, you know, I talked to the like, you know, I when I started, I was very young, you know, working at poker tournaments. But, you know, before I knew them, I was destined to be numbers loophole. You know, my origin is I was always attracted to the tournaments, but I had just a very entry level position. Usually I would just bring plates of chicken and vegetables to the people who were playing cards.
Oh, yeah.
So I had a humble origins. But then one day I was like, wait a minute. What about this poker game you're playing? It's got a limit. What if there was no limit? So that's how I invented No Limit Texas Hold'em. And that was kind of my first big success.
Wow. That's very impressive.
But, you know, that's that game is, yeah, it's, yeah, you play the same game. And I was like, what's the best game days out there? But of course, it was Survivor. So my first season of Survivor was I was working on Australian Survivor. And, you know, I was chatting it up with what's the fella's name?
Mark Burnett.
That's it. Yeah. Mark Burnett. Yeah. So I says to him, I said, I happened to be in Australia because I wanted to get a look at I wanted to see what numbers look like when they're upside down. So I went to Australia and I run into Mark Burnett in a bar. And he said, you know, we just did this great season of Survivor. We're going to do it again. It's going to be 16 people. It's going to be 39 days. And I said, hold it right there. 39 days. I got a better idea. What if you play Survivor for 42 days.
Oh, wow.
And he looked me straight in the eye and he said, what's your name, kid? And I said, numbers loophole. And I think we can all agree. I changed this. So from then on, I knew that I could always, you know, put my ideas forward and that I always have a sympathetic ear on Survivor. Because I think we can all agree the 42 days part is definitely the best part of Survivor, the Australian Outback.
Well, why did they go back to 39 days?
That's a good question. I never did find out the year. Maybe they just didn't respect. They did go back to 39 days, but then I made sure that the next time they did an Australian Survivor, it would have a lot more than 39 days.
Yes. Yeah, you put something in the zeitgeist in Australia.
I put something in the. I was like, yeah, if it's a season of Survivor associated with Australia, 39 days is just not enough.
Basically, anything that has to do with numbers, they just get you involved and get your take on it.
Sure, yeah, I'm the numbers guy. I got all the numbers loopholes. Look, they were getting ready for Survivor Fiji, and they said, how many contestants should we have? Should we have 18 contestants?
Yes.
Should we have 20 contestants? Should we go back to 16 contestants? And I said, nah. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to have 19 contestants. Nobody's ever done that on Survivor before. And they had to make up some story about a contestant leaving, but it was me. Numbers loophole.
Wow. You invented that.
I invented it. Who do you think was Brad Culpepper's math tutor? I taught him what numbers do and don't go into 10.
Yeah, that was you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Who do you think came up with the tiebreaker rules at the final six tribal council in Survivor Second Chances?
Yeah, that was you also?
Oh, yeah, it was me. Numbers loophole. Now, I'll say this. They don't always go with my ideas. Sometimes I give them good ideas and they, you know, they just get caught on the living room. They get left on the cutting room floor. I'll tell you, when they did Survivor Second Chances, I said, no. Second Chances. I got a better idea. You're going to do Survivor Third Chances. And I guess that one didn't land.
Wow. So why not? Why don't they like Third Chances?
I don't know. Maybe they just don't think the third time's the charm. They don't listen. Someday I'll convince them. I'm very persuasive. That's why. And I believe me, it's a good thing. I do a lot of good for a lot of people. I help people. In fact, Rob, I was thinking I could probably help you.
Oh, I could use it. What could you do for me, numbers loophole?
You can call me numbers. You got this nice podcasting empire you got going on. You seems like it's going pretty well for you. But Rob, I think it could be bigger.
Bigger. I like
way
that.
Bigger.
What do I need to do?
Well, okay. For starters, I understand you're on the Podcast One Network.
Yes.
No. Here's what you got to do. You should be on the Podcast Two Network.
Yes, that's a good idea.
It's like Podcast One, but there's one more.
What about Podcast Three?
No, that one. Now that I hear it, I kind of see why they didn't go for it. I don't think Three is so hot.
Doesn't have a good a ring to it.
I don't know. I don't think Three's best days are behind it.
Yeah. Okay. Podcast Two. I like that.
Podcast Two. I'm telling you, Rob, listen, I heard the review of your podcast where you got zero earbuds. Okay. So, you know, we got to mix things up. If you want things to pick up in the new year, you know, 2017 is coming. And then my sources tell me after that's going to be 2018. And then who knows? But I'm telling you, if you stick with me and listen to my advice, I'll do your financial planning. Pretty soon, I think we could get you a one or even a 1.5 earbud review.
Wow. You could do that, numbers loophole. You're not just pulling my chain.
Oh, no, this is on the level, Rob. Would I lie to you? Listen, who do you think told Jay not to cover up his combination lock at the end of that immunity challenge? It was me.
Well, that wasn't very good advice.
Oh, well, okay, yeah, you can say that now. Listen, hindsight is something, Rob.
Yeah.
And at the time I was given, you know, I told Jay what to do and he didn't listen, but it's okay. I said, listen, you know, I tried to tell him that you need to go to high school, college, 9 to 5, get a life. The 9 to 5 part was the part that I particularly resonated with because it's got numbers in it. And I'm numbers loophole.
Yeah. Numbers. Did you know the right answer when Greg Buis asked in the final tribal council of Survivor Borneo to pick a number?
I knew the right answer when Greg Buis asked it. I knew the right answer when Kelly Wigglesworth asked it in Survivor Second Chances. I knew the right answer when Kelly Goldsmith asked it in Survivor Africa.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always know. Yeah. No, that's it. You're very, Rob, you're beginning to catch on in my area of expertise.
Wow. Well, what could you tell us about Survivor coming up in 2017? Do you have any numbers about the Game Changers?
Oh, about the Game Changers. You know, hard to say. You know, there's such game changers out there. I'm sure that they're going to bring great things. But actually, I'm mostly going to be enjoying Survivor as a viewer. I got a couple other projects going to keep me pretty busy in the upcoming year.
Yeah, it's like what? What are you working on?
I'm going to rewrite the Electoral College.
Yes. There's a lot of support. Yeah. Is Taylor helping you with that? The millennials, I heard, are going to change the Electoral College.
Yeah. President Zachary Taylor. Yeah. We're going way back.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm rewriting the Electoral College on Specwoik. Nobody actually asked me to do it, but I got some ideas, Rab. I got some ideas.
Okay. Do you do any work on any other shows?
Yeah, I work for that show about numbers. What's it called? Oh, yeah. Numbers.
Yes.
I work for that show.
Yes. That's still on, Numbers?
That's a good question. Yeah, you know, I'd have to check on that one. I did a little bit of I put some packages together for 60 minutes. They were going to call it 41 and a half minutes. And I said, you got to call your show 60 minutes.
Yes, that is a much better round number.
Also, I used to work on Sesame Street. You know, my brother is the Count.
Yes, I like his work. Well,
yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah, that's good stuff.
What do you think about letters?
Letters. Letters are okay. You know, I've come around on letters. I like them when they're Roman numerals.
Yeah, that's good.
They're numbers. And I'm numbers loophole.
You are. Numbers loophole. Thank you for sharing all of your numbers with us. I always appreciate getting any sort of behind the scenes information.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And really, Rob, I think this partnership could go places. I think you just give me the login info for your Patreon account and you just turn all the financials over to me. You're never going to have to worry about a thing again. I got this covered. I'm Numbers Loophole.
Numbers Loophole, do you have any advice for me in terms of booking the podcast for 2017? Are there any people that you really like or don't like on the podcast?
Well, there's one survivor I really love who I'd love to see on the podcast.
Who's that?
Will Sims 2.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good.
He's one of my favorites.
All right. Well, we'll see what we can do for 2017, Numbers Loophole.
Oh, boy, that'd be great. Well, I hope you're gonna have a fun Christmas. You got anything fun planned coming up, the holidays, all that good stuff?
Oh, yes. Yes, that I am going to try to relax a little bit and get ready for 2017.
Oh, well, if you want to relax, I got a real fun thing you can do. Take your mind off of Survivor and everything else. Because, you know, I've come a long way since my young days in Las Vegas, helping Jean Robert and other folks there, you know, eat chicken and vegetables. But I still am attracted to, you know, gaming of all different kinds. I'm going to be spending Christmas at the racetrack.
The racetrack?
Yeah, you want to come out and join me for the horse races.
Okay, the horse races. That sounds fun.
I got all the inside information on the horse races.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always giving tips to people on which horses they should bet on.
Okay. How do you know?
Oh, because I got the inside scoop. Usually all the people I give the information to, I have to go to them because they're locked in rooms and they're not allowed to come out.
Yes. That happened to me once. My boss had to go and help me bet on the horses.
Well, you know, I got a buddy out there named Scamming. He helps me deliver all the messages.
Yes.
Me and Scamming at the horse race.
Now, Numbers Loophole, do you know Shireen? Because I feel like that she mentioned you on a season of Survivor before.
Numbers Loophole.
What was the name again?
Numbers Loophole.
No. Who
said you? Shireen.
I can't say it rings a bell, Rob. Nope.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Numbers Loophole, thank you so much for all of this behind the scenes info.
Oh, you're most welcome. Have a good 2017. And if you stick with me on December 31st, we can ring in 2018.
Yes. Okay. I'll take you up on that.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye, Numbers Loophole. All right, everybody. There you have it. Numbers Loophole joining us here on the Happy Holidays number 5. And it's no Numbers Loophole that you could be enjoying the streaming comedy service of CISO for just $3.99 a month. That CISO is comedy for comedy nerds. CISO, that's SEESO. It's the new ad-free streaming service bringing you hilarious original series, hand-picked classics, weeks of stand-up specials, and more bingeable comedy anytime, anywhere. CISO. Do you CISO what I CISO? Well, it depends. Every episode of SNL, including new episodes the day after they air, Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, Late Night with Seth Meyers, and much more. CISO is ad-free and for just $3.99 a month. That's less than you're paying for just about every single holiday gift that you are picking up for anybody that you know. And if you're serious about comedy, you've got to try CISO. Stream it anytime, anywhere, on virtually any device. And right now, our listeners can try CISO for free for 2 months when they use promo code RHAP at checkout. CISO has shows you can't get anywhere else, from critically acclaimed original series like Take My Wife and Harmon Quest to all 40 years of SNL. CISO is the only place that offers every episode ever made and the new episodes again the day after they air. So go to CISO.com right now. That's SEESO.com right now to sign up for 2 months free with the promo code RHAP at checkout. That's CISO.com, promo code RHAP. Now, speaking of CISO, our next guest is a CISO fanboy, among other things. You can hear him on many, many different podcasts, including this very one that you're listening to talk with us about a number of his favorite holiday recipes that you could be making for you and yours this holiday season. Great friend of the podcast and somebody you'll hear with me talking about the new season of Celebrity Apprentice coming up this January. Please welcome back. Give it up for Mr. Mike Bloom.
La 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 fa 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 roo.
Yes. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. It is a wonderful time of the season, and I'm here to make your holiday a little more wonderful, or at least a little more survivor-oriented, which has to be wonderful in this day and age.
Yes, it is, Mike. And thank you for taking a break from your busy schedule of podcasting about so many different shows to join me and talk on a podcast.
Of course, anytime. I mean, I'll always make a habit to take a break from whatever I'm doing to not only celebrate the holidays, but talk Survivor as well. And, you know, everyone has such big holiday traditions amongst their families. But I feel like since we are tried and true Survivor super duper fans, we really need to incorporate our passions into our year round activities, including the holiday season. So what I brought for you are several Survivor themed dishes and craft ideas that can really bring the 39 day game to the 3 day holiday.
Yes. Okay. Well, Mike, this is, you've really outdone yourself.
Well, save your judgment for when we actually get through the list. Yes. Don't count your chicken Morrises before they get
I never
out.
Do. I never do. Okay. Well, before we get into that, how's everything going for you?
It's going well. We are doing really great stuff on the Top Chef podcast with Antonio Bizzaro, Kurt Clark, Josh Wigler. That season has been getting off to a really interesting start, and it's been really exciting to get to talk with that, as always. The Hamster Factor, we just wrapped up. Speaking of food theme, we just talked about Big Night, which I don't know if you ever saw, Rob. It's like a Tony Shalhoub and Stanley Tucci 1997 film about cooking. I have not seen that yet. It's a really, really good film. I actually highly recommend it. And I'm actually recording this right now from my in-law's house, and I'm about to embark on my own, my very first Feast of the Seven Fishes. So we'll see if I emerge at the end alive. At least I'll be more corpulent either way.
All right. Well, Mike, what about outside of your podcasting world? What's new?
Oh, my goodness.
Nothing?
Personal question. Things are going well in life. You know, it's the end of the year, and it's crazy to look back on the previous 365 days. They were certainly momentous, and I'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
But you bring up the Celebrity Apprentice. Just makes me really excited for the year to turn and to see what else may come. You know, I am also on record in saying that this year, no matter what may have gone on in the outside world, the reality TV world was burning up, in my opinion. Two killer seasons of Survivor. Big Brother might be a little bit of a different story, but it was always interesting. So I'm happy to have had that, at least to, you know, keep me company at evenings and on the weekends, and to have RHAP alongside to listen to.
The state of the Survivor Union was strong. The state of Big Brother was kooky as ever.
it was definitely, you know, I think people went into this year with a certain reputation about Big Brother.
We lost our minds time and time again.
Well, that might have happened. That might happen when you get, you know, like 10 continuous months of Big Brother. I think that's what we saw this year. We proved that's the if that's one thing I learned in 2016, it's that 10 months of Big Brother might not be the best idea in terms of sanity.
All right, Mike, let's get into your recipes. Are we going to start with your recipe book, your cookbook?
Yeah, let's open up
your
my
Cook Islands book.
Of course, my Cook Islands book. And who better to talk about the lovely art of cooking than a man who never sets foot in the kitchen because he has scarred up his hands too many times from trying to use cutlery. It's only appropriate. Speaking of Cook Islands cookbook, I feel like I could start off with, you know, candy canes, peppermint sticks. They're a great treat of the holiday season. And we have several Survivor takes on them here. And of course, let's start off with the Candace canes. Named yeah, after
the Candace cane.
The one and only Candace Woodcock Cody. So you essentially want to when you're forming your peppermint, you essentially want to mix together in a bowl, have a second bowl handy, and immediately make that peppermint mutiny from one bowl into another at a moment's notice. But you have to have a 5-second countdown just to make sure that the peppermint moves over at the last second. And then once you're able to really, you know, get your work done and harden it into a nice shape, you want to whittle it down to form a nice middle finger. And that's the true art of the Candace cane.
Yes. Wow. It is a holiday treat suitable for all ages.
Exactly. Perfect for any ERs.
Yes.
But we don't just stop there with our peppermint treats. We also have the Monica and Brad Cole peppermint sticks. Yes, it's double the pleasure, double the fun here with the Monica and Brad Cole peppermint sticks. It's very simple. Just take your ingredients and you want to toss them in a discarded Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey. That really gets the ingredients going. And then once you form them into a really loose shape, just throw them into the fire. Just throw them into the fire.
Throw them into the fire.
Throw them into a fire for a really nice roast. The problem is these peppermint sticks only go by the third person. So
yes.
It's going to be a little tough to hold a conversation with them.
How many does this recipe serve, Mike?
Well, yeah. So you out of 9 people, I'd say maybe 4. You know, I think 4 would fit nicely
out
of 9.
Yeah,
that would be in. 5 might be a little closer to out.
That's out.
But we don't stop there with the peppermint. If you're in the mood for something that's a little on the smaller side, you can go for some Pappy Mint candies named after the one and only Pascal English.
Pappy Mint candies? What's that like? They're like creme brulee?
So you take some nice Georgia peaches and you crush them with a big purple rock. And then once you get that all mashed together, you press it together with a big American flag that you have lying around. And then once you assemble them, you pack them into a nice little bite-sized mince that you can take home from a big meal to show your friends.
Wow, that sounds like the epitome of a delicious holiday treat.
Absolutely, absolutely. So moving on from that, we have some other fantastic treats. Of course, what would a holiday season be like without some figgy pudding?
Oh, yes.
It's a little spicy, I'll warn you. It's a little spicy.
That's disgusting.
Oh, come on, Michaela.
No. You'll definitely want to be taking a trip to the Cuddle Shack after trying some of this figgy pudding. It's actually a fairly simple to regular figgy pudding, but what you want to do is you want to brulee the top of it to form a little bit of a crust. Then you kind of want to form like a vestigial protuberance from it, a tail, if you will,
yes,
from this figgy pudding. And then you're going to want to promptly slice that tail off and throw it away. That's the true art of figgy pudding.
Wow. is it good for young children?
Maybe not younger than 9 months.
Yes. Could get messy. It's complicated.
It's a little complicated.
Can I just stop for 1 second? Because, yes, you know, in rewatching a little bit of the Survivor reunion the other night with Nicole, super awkward moment that we didn't do justice about the Figgy and Taylor segment where Jeff goes finally to Taylor to ask him about the and Taylor, he says, and you are the father of a child, right? And Taylor just goes, yeah. He just like repeats, yeah, like 10 times.
Yeah, the thing was that I know there was like coverage before this episode of like, all right, Jeff's gonna really ask the Figtails question, and you were like, oh great, this is gonna be like the Frosty Nixon of reunion questions, and nothing. Of course, when you're talking to Taylor, you're not really gonna get hard hitting journalism out of him. Do you remember? You probably saw this fresher than I did. Didn't Brett have like a really great reaction during that? I remember that from the reunion.
Yeah, I saw screenshots of that also on the internet. But it was just a very funny moment just to go back and watch that again, because I really, you know, that they don't really do the zooming in on everything on the TV. Like sometimes you don't see everything that you see on TV on the monitors at the reunion. So it was I did not pick up those reactions. It's just, yeah.
Well, hopefully some spoonfuls of this version of figgy pudding will also get you saying, yeah, at your holiday table.
Right. It was like Jeff was going to ask the question, but he was not going to pry any further. Like, I think if Taylor wanted to get into more of an explanation, I think that Jeff would have been up for it. But he was like, OK, I'm not going to like continue to pursue this line of questioning.
I mean, the question would be, if the Jeff Probst talk show was not discontinued, do you think he would have Taylor on for like a whole episode segment?
Unlikely.
Maybe it would be like, they'd segue into like, and now Taylor's going to show us what to do with mason jars over your holiday season.
Yeah.
Prove that.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, mason jars would be very handy. Okay. Sorry, Mike. I don't mean to divert us too much from the recipes.
Please divert us from these quality recipes that I am providing here. I mean, we really are moving on to the crowning achievement here, the Fruit Blake.
Fruit Blake?
Yes, named after Blake Towsley, I think his name was, from Survivor Guatemala. It's endowed with a really nice golden crust on it, and it's in the shape of two double D breasts, like Blake's girlfriend that he liked to brag about.
And what is this dish, Mike?
It's a fruit, Blake.
Well, what does that mean?
Like a fruit cake.
Oh, okay.
No, were you under the? Did you think it was just a Blake made out of fruit?
I don't know. I don't know what a fruit Blake was. I was okay. So this is like a fruit cake, and it is in the shape of a bosom.
Yes, in the shape of a rather buxom bosom. I don't know if they're comparable to the Morgan's breast / the papayas that Trish was pointing out, but they're up there, I would say.
Okay.
All right. So what would Christmas be without some big sweets? And of course, one of the biggest sweets that we can provide around the holidays are sugar cookies.
Oh, yes.
And sugar Kuiper cookies are a staple at every Survivor themed table.
Yes, certainly.
So all you need to do to make sugar Kuiper bread cookies is you just put sugar, eggs, and flour in a bowl, and you turn it out until it me-nices. And then once you fully bake them, you drop them off on Randy Bailey's doorstep with a note to say, give this out to everyone you see.
Yes. Perfect. Perfect. How many cookies come in the batch?
Well, there's enough for all of them, though. Some people are liable to take them and then give them away to Maddie.
Okay. Yes.
Maddie gets a lot of cookies this time of year.
A holiday staple.
Well, speaking of holiday staples, the Christmas ham is something that hits every table around Christmas time. I have two different takes on ham. You can go the old school or the new school method. The old school in the form of the Rupert bone ham. So it's a ham that's speared on a Hawaiian sling, and it's crusted in honey. It's an Indiana-like spices. It's a taste that really makes you want to break your toe in joy. And by the time you're finished with it, you'll want to exclaim, what a wonderful meal, and any other sort of generic expressions that may come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And the lesser known take on the ham would be the Darnell Hamilton, though. The jury's still out on that one, because I don't know what it does to your digestive tract.
Right. That trust your gut and go with the Rupert bone ham.
Well, there's a treat around the holiday season that functions as both a food and also a form of decoration. It's the Sandy Burr Gingerbread House.
The Sandy Bird Gingerbread House.
Yes, of course. Now, this is a little bit of a larger scale than your regular gingerbread house. It needs to be at least 3 paces wide, though what a pace is really anybody's guess at this point.
Yeah, speculative.
Definitely. Though the process can be a little temperative. By the end of it, you hopefully won't be saying, "I'm pissed."
No, you hope not.
Yeah, you never know. Things might collapse on you, but hopefully you're able to not be that pissed off at the holiday season. You have much more reasons to be pissed off during the holiday season than if you can get your Sandy Bird gingerbread house up.
Yes. And one of Steven's favorites.
Absolutely. I would try to make a Jalapau pun in there, but I'm trying to figure out Jalapau bells, maybe.
'Tis the season to be Jalapau.
Perfect. This parody song is just writing itself. Of course, we have some lovely drinks to go with these Christmas themed foods. A Big Tom and Jerry.
Yes, Big Tom and Jerry.
Now, I'll admit to you, Rob, it's pretty much just fermented goat's milk and chocolate bars, but there's a stick of beef jerky as a stirrer.
Okay, that's perfect.
Yep, that sounds like a delicious combination, I know. It's perfect for your neighbor sister.
Yes, yes. I will leave a positive Yelp review about that.
Now, in terms of fall tastes that are still bleeding into the winter, we have the Don't Bite the Spiced Apple Cider.
Don't Bite the Spiced Apple Cider. Yes.
Yes. This is served
for James Clement. Yes.
Yes. It's served in 2 hollowed out immunity idols. but it's don't serve it at any burials. It's to the chagrin of many grave diggers everywhere.
Right. Right. It is not a grave digger's delight.
And of course, a treat that's probably more pertinent to you, Rob, the very traditional hot chocolate and peanut butter.
Yes. Yes. That sounds delicious.
For any playboy out there.
Yes. Very delicious, yeah.
Now, of course, there are many, many treats you can enjoy during the holiday season, but I also have a list of several decorations that you can use as well that are Survivor-themed.
Okay, sure. I could use some more decoration ideas.
So the fireplace is, of course, a place where people gather, especially to be given heat. Just like Survivor, fire is very important. It's almost your life during this cold time of year.
Yes.
So I have 2 different takes on a Yule time, and Yule time is very important because the first offer I have is the Yule log. Even Becky and Sundra can get this started up.
Yeah.
And the fun thing is, if you light it up, it starts speaking helpful math facts to you. So it's really educational and heat giving.
A perfect gift this time of year.
But of course, outside of the United States, some of our more European listeners might enjoy the Bosch de Noël, of course, named after Rudy Bosch.
Yeah. Oh, how did that work?
Well, it was pulled from a quarry that had some dead bodies floating in it. So that's I'm not entirely sure what the origins are, but you know what? It's about 80 plus years at this point. It's still going strong, so I trust in it.
What is a Bosch de Noël?
Well, it's a piece of wood that it's sort of as sturdy in its ways. It's been around for a while, and it's open to the other wood-based beliefs of today, but it's not necessarily going to change it. But you know what? We still love them despite it.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at, like, what is it really?
Oh, it's I think it's isn't it the French name for the Yule log?
According to this, this is a cake shaped like a log.
Oh, all right. Well, that goes in my food category then. I don't know. Maybe it's so inedible that it does not work as a food item, more so as an item you could throw into the fireplace.
You know,
it goes in with the Brad and Monica pickle peppers.
I don't even know what this is.
do I throw it at someone?
Yeah. Wow. So many delicious treats at the Survivor holiday feast, Mike.
Well, if you look up in the corner, you might see something dangling from the ceiling.
Oh.
It's the John Mistletoe.
Not a Jacqueline Mistletoe.
Well, the thing is, if you stand underneath it with your significant other, you'll immediately get into a 5-hour argument with them.
I just want to talk to my girlfriend. Come on.
But there's a little bit of a contingency. If you stand under it with Stephen Fishback, he'll give you a winner's end. So, yeah, there's an upside to it.
Wow, the John Mistletoe.
Yes, it's perfect. Though apparently it doesn't answer its voicemail. So if you call it to bring it on to other holiday seasons, it might not be able to be so receptive to
That's
it.
That's right. That's right. It should always be listening to its voicemails.
And of course, we want to deck the halls with boughs of Holly Hoffman as well. Now, I'll admit, Rob, this really isn't anything more than just expensive alligator shoes that are tied around in various strings, but it's still akin to the holiday season.
Yes, sounds like a beautiful decoration.
And of course, what tree would be complete without a nice J-star it at the top of it? Made of a fake idol and giving the coldest stare, as cold as the one he gave Michaela and as cold as the temperature outside.
Yes, yes, he did it. You can too. Wow. So many wonderful Survivor holiday traditions, Mike.
Well, wonderful is certainly a way to describe it.
Yes. Well, fantastic job, Mike. But Mike, I feel as though you've left out a number of our listeners and the survivors who are going to be celebrating Hanukkah this weekend.
Well, to quote a future game changer, I don't know about that.
Yes. What do you mean?
Well, I prepared something special for those who are celebrating Hanukkah this year. Akiva Winokur, fantastic podcaster on the RHAP network, caught wise, Rob. I don't know if you know this, but you talk to a lot of people from not just a tribe, but the tribe on your podcast. But
you mean like John Norton?
Maybe not that the tribe. A special tribe, Rob. One that kind of is affiliated in a region where Survivor 4 might have been based out of at one point in time. Do you talk with a lot of Jews on your podcast? And so Akiva wrote this song to sort of commemorate all the Jews that you podcast with. And I had the pleasure of bringing the voice to his lyrics. And so I prepared a very special song for those that are celebrating Hanukkah this year. Put on your buffaka. It's an RHAP Hanukkah. So much funukkah for the podcaster celebrating Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Probes better not snuff out your menorah for 8 whole nights. So when you feel like the only listener who doesn't do the Christmas thing, remember the Jewish hosts and guests that we would totally ding. Josh Wigler's voice sounds suspiciously like Wanda. If he goes out for pizza with Nick again, that would be a real Shonda. Mike Bloom is so funny, he brings listeners to their knees.
That's not my lyrics.
Just don't try to spell his name without 3 parentheses. Alex Kidwell, the king of Big Brother life feeds. But when Friday night comes around, it's the holodough he needs. Ally Lasher, the woman has 0 filter. Well, maybe it's because the only fish that she eats is gefilte. You know who's not Jewish? Antonio Mazzaro and Jessica Lisa. But guess who is? Zach Brooks, AJ Mass, and News AF intern Lita. That is not actual craptual. Jordan Kalish goes to shul with his cousin Ariel. You know who doesn't? Spencer Bledsoe. I guess he's going to hell. Just kidding, we don't believe in that. So many Jews on RHAP. I'll mention Eliza here so she won't get mad at me.
Good call.
Victoria and Veronica, they know it's time for Hanukkah. It's not Survivor Rob versus John Zucca. It's an RHAP Hanukkah. Steven Fishback invented voting blocks. Now he sits down every Sunday to a bagel and some lox. David Bloomberg, he'll tell you how to scheme and plot. His ideas can be pretty wild. Guess he's been smoking some of that kosher pot.
Mike.
Brian Cohen, best challenge podcast in the game. Wait, I just found out he might not be Jewish. Someone should probably tell his name. Eric Stein's Reform and Akiva's Orthodox. One thing we all have in common is that we circumcise our Who goes to the synagogue every Yom Kippur? Why, it's former Miss Survivor, Miss R.C. St. Amore.
We don't talk about that.
Guess which millennials drink Manischewitz wine? Tana Shapiro and Soul Survivor Adam Klein.
Spoiler, I'm sorry.
Jews giving you podcasts rated 2 earbuds, not 1. And we can't talk about Jews without mentioning Cochran and Ethan Zahn, both winners. The Culpeppers, Brad and Monica. No, it's time to celebrate Hanukkah. Rob hates Survivor Gabonica, but he loves R.A.J.V. Hanukkah. So if you're getting rained onica, but wanna get your wiggle onica, turn off your electronica and have a happy, 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 happy Hanukkah. We're happy Hanukkah.
Mike, that was beautiful.
Oh, why, thank you. Again, interesting choice of words. So I think that sort of typifies this entire segment.
Yes, yes. Now, when you said the Culpeppers, Brad and Monica, celebrate Hanukkah, but that they just celebrate Hanukkah, that they're not Jewish, right?
No, they know it's time for Hanukkah.
They know it's Hanukkah.
They're just aware of the date.
They're aware of the dates, right. That how many times? 4 into 8 is in?
Well, 4 out of 9 candles is in.
4 out of 9 candles. Okay. Just wanted to make sure if your Brad Culpepper mint.
Yeah, make sure your Brad Culpepper mint sticks are nice and toasty by the 4th day of Hanukkah.
Well, Mike, thank you, and Akiva, and everybody else that you workshopped on that with. That was really beautiful.
Of course, of course. Mazel tov to all you Hanukkah celebrators out there. I hope that song did not ruin your holiday.
No, absolutely not, Mike. And thank you again for everything there. Thank you, thank you so much, Mike. Very happy holiday to you and yours, Mike.
Of course, you and your family as well. And I look forward to talking with you sooner, much rather than later, as we terminate this year and move into the next.
Yes. Look for us first week of January for our Apprentice Arnold Schwarzenegger edition coverage on RHAP.
Should be a grand old time.
All right, Mike. Thank you so much.
Of course. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Mike. All right, everybody, there you have it. The great Mike Bloom here talking about our holiday recipes and then also shouting out all of my Jewish co-hosts here on Rob Has a Podcast. All right, one last person that I want to talk to today, and this is a very special guest. I think actually a banner guest here for the RHAP Happy Holidays #5, because I think at this time of year, it's very important that we remember to believe. And there is only one man who can help us do that. And let's go ahead and get him on the line.
Hello, this is Butch Lockley.
Hello, Butch Lockley. This is Rob Cisternino.
Hey, I knew who it was, my old buddy Rob. You can start with your 1, 2, 3, and this is Rob Cisternino. I'm talking to Butch Lockley now, and ask me anything you want to do, okay? Anything you want to know.
All right, you got it.
Okay.
You got it. Butch, how are you doing?
Rob, I'm doing well. During the show, of course, as you know, I was working as principal. I've been retired for 9 years now, and things just couldn't go any better with 4 grandsons and no granddaughters. They all told me that they're done, and I was wanting them to go through the life of hell to have a middle school daughter, but it looks like I got all grandsons, and Christmas time is a special time of the year.
Yes.
And of course, I think, Rob, you know that with your boys, and Santa Claus is coming to is coming to town. So
yes,
things are going well here.
Well, Butch, that this is a great time of year to talk to you, because I know that this is a time of year where it's very important for people to believe, and not just in themselves, but in the holiday spirit.
Well, Rob, my comment on that is, and everybody thinks I'm crazy, I still believe in Santa Claus, and I tell everybody he is alive and he is well. And people kind of frown at me, but then after a while, they'll think, yeah, he is a little crazy, but they smile. And it's just a special time of the year. And I said, I believe. And we try to do a lot of giving and giving back. It's the same thing that you do and same thing you believe in, Rob, since I got to spend 39 days with you. Well, wait a minute. 37 days, 38 days with you.
Look, I don't think we were ever apart for a day. I think that, except when we weren't on the same camp, but I saw you on day 37 and then I saw you again on night 38. So we were together.
Yep. But things are going well. And yeah, I do believe, still believe in the stuff. I still get out and spread the word, and people still ask me questions about the show, and they have a lot of comments on how much it's changed. What's really, really hard to believe, and I mean this positively, is that people still are Survivor fans.
Yes.
And they'll ask me all kinds of questions. And I had a question asked just a week ago. What was your worst day? And I've never had anybody really be specific. My worst day, and I smiled and I laughed and I said, well, my worst day was every day. And they said, what was your best day? And I said, my best day was every day. And that kind of threw them off also, in my philosophy of the show. I said, every day is a great day.
Yeah.
And, there's just some days where there's a little more tougher than the others.
Yeah.
On the show.
Butch, have you kept up with Survivor going through all of the seasons?
And Rob, you know what? I probably, yes, I've kept up with it. You know, I think it's a special experience. And I know that you know this, and you've talked to hundreds of participants in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Being on the show and lasting as long as both of me and you did, but just being a participant, you gotta watch it. You're a fan.
Yeah.
And not only for being on the show, but the camera crews, the questions, and hearing Jeff Probst say, come on in, guys. You want to know what you're playing for? I think one time we were going to say no, just to throw him off. But we didn't do that. And just some of the fun things they do. And I'm going, I can't believe this guy said this.
Yeah.
And I do have a lot of comments from people from my community. And again, remember, as you know, I'm from a small community, you know, 10,000 people.
Only Illinois.
And they still, only Illinois, home of the white squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
And now the basketball team is not known as the squirrels. I mean, there's only four towns in the United States that have the pure albino squirrels. Better set everybody straight on that. But people ask me, and they also have studied it, to where they go in detail. They go, well, the first seven shows, they didn't do anything. Your show, they didn't give anything. Now they give them everything. But people have studied this, and I think you probably know, we didn't have anything. We had a stinking manioc. We didn't have any challenge, anything where we got to eat steak or tarp. and people will notice that, and they'll come up to me and say, hey, did you see where they gave them a tarp? Well, you didn't have that. And they've drawn a line from the first six, well, basically to the first All-Star that you're very familiar with, because you were on it.
Well, not as familiar as I'd like to be, Butch, but yeah.
Right. Well, you should have been, but that's another story. But they've drawn parallels from the first seven to the rest of it. And they said, the people said, hey, give them food. And did you see all the coconuts they eat? And did you see the food they're eating all the time? You guys didn't have it. So the point I guess I'm making is that they've observed it, and I'm sure that's all across America.
Yes.
And I have too.
Yes. We were like Tiny Tim. We got nothing.
We didn't, you know, and I call them cupcake survivors now. I said,
oh, Butch, come on.
I shouldn't say that, but I mean, I look at what they get, and the pots, the pans, they're sitting in chairs, They
we didn't have a chair. That's one thing.
No, we didn't have a chair. I see stuff they get, but I also understand they got to make sure they get some nourishment.
Yeah.
As you know, we were very sick.
Yes. How much weight did you lose?
I lost 38 pounds.
Wow.
In a pound a day.
Yeah.
And then even when I got back, I was still very sick, Rob. And I had to go to my doctor, who happened to be a flight surgeon in the Air Force and that worked with people in survivors. And when I went to him about some of my conditions, he said, Butch, he says, you still got worms in your body.
Oh, my God.
You got parasites in your body. And so I had to take 2 weeks of very strong parasite medicine to help my body out. So, and I'm not knocking now. What I am saying is that I think I wouldn't mind being in an ocean. I wouldn't mind being where there's fish.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind being to have some of the conditions they have now versus what we had. And people bring that on it to me, and I just smile. And I say, well, we did it.
Yeah.
And my buddies on the show, I still talk to them. I still stay in contact with a lot of them. And when you suffer, you kind of get closer to friendship. There was no animosity between us. And, you know, we're still close friends. And I'd do anything for anybody on that show.
Yeah. And who do you still talk to a lot?
Well, of course, I'm on Facebook now. We get, you know, Dan being in California and all the shows that he's on. of course, Rob, I got Matthew. I've been in contact with Matt quite a bit.
Yeah. What is Mateo up to?
Mateo got promoted to senior vice president of Marriott, in charge of restaurant and design.
Yeah.
And he still does those runs, those 200 mile runs. He went back to the Amazon and did a 200 mile run through the Amazon where he crossed the rivers and, I mean, grueling races. And he was up in, he ran in the South Pole, a marathon, 26 mile marathon, and went back 2 days later to try to do the 50 mile marathon.
Yeah.
Only got 30 miles in. It was 20 degrees below zero.
Yeah. And so, it's amazing.
Amazing. And everybody in our show, I think, was amazing. From Alex Bell to Dina and their successful Heidi. I still stay in contact with Heidi. Got a great family, and she's doing a lot of charity work. And so, yeah, I still stay in contact with him. And I haven't heard much from Roger lately. I know he moved up with his family. But you still kind of chuckle at night. Sometimes you wake up and go get a glass of water or something at night and you kind of look at the sky, or there's something that will trigger a memory.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had a cookout and I was looking in the fire and somebody was talking to me. I didn't even realize it. I was mesmerized. It was just us staring in the fire for hours or something, you know.
Yeah.
And looking in the sky and see the stars and brings back great memories.
And you talk to Dan a lot too now?
Dan, I have sent messages and I've texted him quite a bit just on some of his shows.
Yeah.
And I sent him a text of me, dear honey, I think I sent it to you.
Yeah,
too,
I got it too.
I got it too. Just a funny little snippet of me deer hunting in my stand. And he's doing well and he's living his dream. And that's great.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for everybody. And you're doing well. I see what everything that you're doing and the kids and the family and the
doing okay,
the
Butch.
Award number one in America. I know. So I'm very proud of you. Doing well.
Thank you, Butch.
I've seen your dad being able to see all that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But you know what I was thinking about the other day? That I thought that if they had the hidden immunity idol when we played Survivor, I bet you would have found one of the hidden immunity idols out there looking for all that good burning wood.
Yeah, I know what you labeled me, the fire, you know what. And
no, I was that. I was the fire, you know what, to you.
That's right. And they still laugh at me. Everybody, there's two things that I've known for in my area or my town community and people still ask about. The first thing was not looking and hiding Jenna with the clothes off. They still make fun of me on that.
They make fun of you for that.
And secondly, they'll say, he's the guy that burned the camp down.
I said I didn't do it.
But it was an act of God.
Yes, an act of God that did that. So Matt threw a log on a fire and burned the camp down.
Oh, wait, you blaming Matt?
Yeah, Matt's the one that did it, but they blamed me for it. I just happened to have more wood there. Rob, we were down to one piece of dry wood.
Yeah.
One piece, and they wouldn't have given us flint or anything. And I babied that wood to get two pieces of wood dry.
Yeah.
For two pieces, the four pieces, and that saved us.
Yeah.
Because it rained for 3 days straight, and my fingers look like they've been in water.
Yeah.
For hours.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. Same thing with your hands.
Yeah, we had a good run where it didn't rain for it rained a fair amount in the beginning of the game. And then it was sort of like for like 2 weeks, it was pretty dry. And then the last week, like from like day 31 on, that was where, you know, these bad rainstorms came. And that was it was really, really terrible those last few days.
It was. You know, I don't know how to explain it. And when I tell people about it, I said, you really don't know what it's like to be miserable. I mean, really stinking miserable. You just stand there with rain coming down and you can hear it coming. And you can see it coming and you can hear it coming. And just be there all day and all night. And you wake up and it's still raining. You can't get any food. And it's just miserable.
It's rough. It's rough. And you'd go back tomorrow, right, Butch?
Yes, I would. I told my wife there's a show on now called Alone. And I'm not making a plug for it, but I watched it the other day where they take people out and just drop 10 items.
Yeah.
And I told my wife, I said, I can do that. I said, I'm telling you what, I could do it. I'm not a survivalist, but I said, I could do that. The middle part, which is on Survivor, if you're ever asking about the middle part, but the middle part is the toughest. And on that show alone, I said, I could do that. I said, I think I'll apply for it. And my wife, who I love dearly, and they really supported me when I was on the show, she looked at me and smiled. And she said, if you go on that show alone, and you come back home, you're going to be alone.
Why? Why would she leave you over that? Because it's too crazy?
It's crazy, and you're gone. Your family, you know this, your family sacrifices so much. We had to lie like the people did. You couldn't tell people where you're at. I was at school one day and showed up 45 days later, 38 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
Nobody knew where I was at. This is during one of the early shows where people just didn't know.
Yeah.
So as you know, or you may not know, I started playing the game before I was even chosen. I'd sit on the floor and stretch my legs out, or I'd be walking down the hallway, leaning over to the side. Then I was picked, and people would say, Butch, are you okay? Are you okay? I'd look at them and I'd say, I feel pretty good today. So I started playing the game of being sick. And then when I was gone, the people in this area had me on drug and alcohol treatment. They had me in a mental institution. They had me just in cancer treatment.
Oh, no.
They had... somebody saw me living in Indiana, U.S., with the Amish. There's a big Amish village. They saw me with a beard and a little hat and a buggy.
And what did Cindy tell people?
Well, Cindy told people that that he was on an adventure, but it was on a trip, and this is something that he had to do, and for his own benefit. And so people felt sorry for her. I mean, she got sympathy cards. And then about days, I'm going to say, but I was gone about 25 days, she took her wedding ring off.
Oh, no.
And that she was, I better back up. Cindy was the guidance counselor at the middle school where I was principal. And so when she did that, every lady teacher knew that. And they were really upset. Regarding that. Then when I got back, I looked terrible. I couldn't wear my clothes. And so that's when people said, yes, there was something wrong with it. And again, my kids couldn't say anything.
Yeah.
And finally, when it was announced, you know, and then we apologized. Everybody said, this is what CBS made us do.
Yeah.
That we couldn't tell anybody.
So, I know.
And now everybody talks. So I guess everybody knows what's going on. They tell them where they're going. I guess. I don't know. But it was an adventure. It was something that I'll cherish as you the rest of my life.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Butch, did you follow the show this season? Did you keep up with the Millennials versus Gen X?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
In the very first episode, I finally jumped up and Cindy smiled. I said, look at them. You got to build a fire. You got to build a hut. You got to get going. And they're going swimming. I said, how dumb can you? I could not believe the Millennials were. The young kids were doing some of that stuff, but then the old people, I think that's where I would have been, work hard and get going, as you know.
Yeah.
Let's get some more wood. Let's build our hut. Let's get going.
Yeah.
And, I laughed. Yes, I followed it. And, the TV shows one thing and I'm sure there's other things that happened along the way that made a difference regarding the winner.
Yeah.
Well,
you would have, I think, been good on a season like that, because I feel like that you would have gotten along with the older survivors, but I feel like you were always very good with the younger survivors too, maybe because you were a teacher that I think that people that you got along well with the younger players.
Well, one of the characteristics that I tried to have when I was working as principal was listening and observing. And that reads a lot to what's going around on camp. And this, as you know, I keep saying, as you know, but at nighttime I'd listened a lot. I didn't sleep at night and I heard people talk, and that's made a big change. And the one night you heard them and I didn't, I was asleep. But, I think that was an asset to listen and talk and observe, and don't go out and say, no, you don't want to do that. That's the stupidest thing you ever, don't say things like that. You would say, well, that's a pretty good idea, but what do you think about this? I want your opinion on this. And those are some things that I did or I continue to do and did on a show that I think that helped me out, because, it got down to after 20 days after Roger left, I was the oldest guy there, 50 mm-hmm. years old.
Yeah.
And I knew that's how I had to play, said I would outplay, outlast. I kept my mouth shut. I didn't get to any arguments. And I went in there with the philosophy I was going to get one or two guys, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then when then that was, of course, started out with Roger and Dave Johnson, and then I got Matt and I became good friends.
Yeah.
And Roger was gone, so then it was just Matt and I. And Matt said, you're on a need-to-know basis. I wanted to jump up and say, no, wait a minute, big boy.
Bush, that was the chain.
That was the chain, yeah. It's a little stronger, your weakest link. That was my point. It sure didn't come out that way. You can see that on YouTube. I had somebody find that in a chain on YouTube, and I didn't even understand what I was saying. I said I was sleep-deprived. Hunger deprived. I said, I don't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
But, and the idol. I don't know. What would you have done if you would have found the idol? Would you have played it, Rob?
I don't know when I would have played it. I mean, you got to play it when you're going to get voted out. I mean, it would have been nice to have it when, Jenna voted me out when we're down to the three. But I don't know. Maybe there would have been, some fancy time that we could have come up with a spot to play it. But yeah, I don't know if I would have, what spot I would have. Maybe there was a point where I could have given it to somebody. But yeah, I don't really have any. I could have used it, believe me, in the All-Stars, Butch.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I've had so many people ask that. And I go, well, you know what? It just is if you're there, and usually if you're in good or bad shape.
Yeah.
And I said, if I would win it, I probably would have gone to the private counsel and said, guys, here's what I found. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to save it because I'm not sure in the heck I want to go home with an idol in my pocket.
Right.
And I probably would have said, I'm playing it.
Yeah.
And just hand it in.
Just wait, as soon as you found
it? Boys. Yeah. As soon as I found it, I say that as soon as I found it, if it was still early on, I may save it for one day or two, because you have a feeling on who's, who's right. Going home. we knew who was going home the first couple times, tribal councils.
Yeah.
Then after that, if I had it, I'd probably say, you know what? I'm not going to keep it from anybody. I'm playing it because I want to stay 3 more days.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go out and look for it again.
Would you have been able to make up a fake immunity idol? Do you think that you would have been good at that?
No. No, I am not artistic at all. No. The only thing I could have come up with was steal some more feathers and get a half of a coconut shell, tie a string around it. That's how it would have been it. And they kept an eye on me because I tried to steal things, feathers and little gadgets and knickknacks. And What's that?
You did do that? You were taking feathers?
Yeah, some of those things that came with. I tried to sneak some in. And I wanted to keep my buff, but they didn't. They got that too, so they kept an eye on me.
They were worried you were taking souvenirs.
I was taking souvenirs, anything I could take. Well, I got some downstairs, those armbands and some other things. We had headdresses or something, not headdresses. We had them when we were together, and before we merged, I had some.
Yeah,
and I tried to get some other stuff, but they kept an eye on me.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff I was doing. And a lot of people don't know that.
But, yeah.
I laughed. And I said, I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
But when I said having a good time, it was miserable. Every day was a great day, and every day was a tough day. It was tough.
Yeah.
Which, you know that.
Do you have any favorite stories of things that didn't end up on the show? Because I have a hard time sometimes remembering the things that, like, I feel like that my memory is really mostly just about the stuff that they showed on TV. And I feel like a lot of the stuff that happened when that wasn't on the TV show, I feel like I've forgotten.
How about the camera? You remember I bought that Polaroid camera?
Yes.
For $20.
In the auction.
In the auction, I took pictures of everybody, and then, of course, some of it got burned up.
But yeah.
There was one part where I went out in the jungle, and they wanted to get a comment, and I said, "You talking about the camera I got for $19.95, and if you don't have it, we don't need a store. It's just a mile away down the Amazon, and we got a sale today, and you need to." So after I got to do this, they stopped me, and they went and got the big camera crew. And had me come back and do the same thing. He said, "Tell us about your camera." I said, "You talk about the camera that I bought. If you don't have it, we don't need a store. It's just a mile down the Amazon. And they got a sale today. You need to come on down and buy one, folks. Again, just a mile away. We don't need it. We don't have a store," or something like that.
Yeah.
And that never got on the air. It was really pretty funny.
Yeah.
And yeah. That was a good memory that I liked. The other one was our...
Did any of those pictures survive the fire, Butch?
Well, I seen one. I had like six of them. I said, everybody's got a picture. I took one of Christy on the sunrise. I took one of Jenna and Heidi. I thought I had one of you.
Yeah.
I had one of me standing by the banner, believing yourself. And I was standing up, was looking down. I don't know what happened to it. But that was a fun day of the fond memory of things that happened.
The auction.
There was something else, and I can't think what it. There's something else I really had a good time with, but I don't know if it was fishing, catching fish, or eating something.
Yeah.
Laughing. I think sometimes we start laughing and telling stories. You know, just like the story. I know what it is. The stories games we would play. What was your favorite? And everybody go around and give them their favorite. You do that 3 times, and then you'd go back and kick somebody out until you find the best movie, best song, best whatever. I don't know if you remember doing that.
Yeah.
And
vaguely.
Vaguely?
Yeah.
They asked me, and they said, "What, we were on the best movie." I said, Easy Rider. They look at me. I think it was Dave or Alex looking at me. That's a good movie. You're a school principal, and you're saying Easy Rider was a good movie.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I guess so. Then I went to the Sound of Music as the next one.
Right. You got to clean it up. Yeah.
I had to clean it up on the next one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are some fond memories of just when we were by ourselves. I think, Rob, and you got some stories too, I'm sure, but of things that happened and the terrible things. The last challenge we went to when they said this is an anaconda breeding area and they put that blindfold on us and we had to feel the, I had no idea what I was doing.
No.
Me
neither. Wet,
you know we were supposed to learn the difference of it and they didn't tell us. And it rained for 2 days straight and it was still raining when they mic'd us up. And it was, that was not a fond memory. That was a memory I'll never forget.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so wet, and then I couldn't even feel anything, let alone like feel which way we were supposed to be going on the clues or blindfolded.
No, and I know, and I don't know how Jenna won, but she won.
Yeah.
I was even blocking her. Guess it's something. Oh, Butchie's groping Jenna. I was just trying to block her from winning. I thought Matt was going to do it. I had faith in Matt doing it.
Yeah.
And then I heard Jeff say something. Well, Rob's finally got one. I go, if I got one and Rob's got one, we're hurting.
Yeah.
And he didn't, because I figured the best three in the final. And then I knew, I said, yep, the best three in the final, Rob, no way in heck. Matt, no, it'll be all Butch.
Let's talk about that. Okay, so let's say that we got Jenna voted out at the final four. So I think Matt, I don't think was trying too hard when we got to that last challenge. So you feel like that you would have won against if we were standing up on those things, you would have beat me.
My face would have hit the ground before my body would have. I would have stayed there. I wouldn't.
It was hard. It was really hard.
Said, yeah, I know. But I would have stayed there till my face hit the ground.
Yeah.
Unless you would have said, well, Butch, I'll come down. If you keep me in the game, then I might have considered it, because the competition in me, the competitiveness, I would have stayed there as long as I could.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what I would have done. I would have stayed there forever.
And then would have taken Matt to the end?
Yes, I would have taken Matt and not you. Now, why would I have done that? Because all along I told Matt I'd take it.
Yeah.
When we would have went to the jury, I would have said, why did I take Matt instead of Rob? By taking Rob, I know I could have won, because none of the girls would have gone vote for Rob. You know,
I might have, what if I had a good speech, Butch? You don't know what I was going to say.
Well, I know. But I would have said, I stayed to my word. They drew here. And I would have told them, I said, I did things my way. I didn't do when they ask us our strategy, I told them my strategy is going to be, I will make my strategy up as I go.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's, you know, because they asked me, are you going to be a principal? Are you going to be really nice? Or what are you going to do? And I said, yes. They go, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to do everything I can to get in the final four. I don't know what it is. But I said, I will play it. And that goes back to the question you asked me about being around other people, listening and talking, and that was my strategy.
Yeah. So then, if it was you and Matt in the end, do you think that you would have gotten the votes?
Well, and that's something that we'll never know, but my count on that one was, I feel that Dave Johnson would have voted for me, and I think Heidi, I think Jenna would have voted for me. Alex
definitely. Yeah.
Alex definitely, and of course, you, I don't know.
I'll vote for you, sure. Well, but, I think I really would have depended on, you know, how that last day was went, you know? But I think that I probably would have, it's tough to say.
Jenna and Heidi definitely, and, you know, Alex and Dave. Dina, I think she would have. So I felt pretty confident. And
what about Christy? But,
you know what? It didn't happen, and you can dream about it tonight. I probably won't be able to sleep if I start dreaming about it again.
you and me both, Butch.
Yeah. But you know what? We got done with the show, and one of the things that I did was, as soon as the show was over, I went back to my life of being a father and a husband and a principal.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I didn't, you know, I'm not a star.
I'm not just a normal guy, and I think that really helped me out. And I was also asked to do a lot of speaking, public speaking, and I have motivational speaking, and I've done that. I'm kind of done with it now, but just go back and live your life. You did. We had a great time, a great experience, and you can't live on what ifs. Mm-hmm. What if, what if, what if? You know, just like you're doing now, you're doing a great job. You're living your dream of what you want to do, and that's what a person has to do. And it's Christmas time, and Santa Claus will be here in 3 days, Rob.
Yeah.
He's going to be coming down, and I can't wait. Today, what movie? The best movie ever, The Polar Express. I was watching it today.
Yeah.
I can even tell you some of the parts.
Tell me the parts.
The part I like, I do it with the kids, and they point, you're not supposed to be here when the kids are in the big sack. Going down and you're trying to get that pin. These guys are, anyway, they're all laughing. It's just a good movie. And the grandkids watch it. I watch it with them and shoot. I love it when Santa comes out. Here comes the big guy.
Yeah.
That's why I call Santa. Here comes the big guy.
Yeah, my son watches that one too, Butch.
Yeah. So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right? Yeah. Well, Butch, it was so nice to get to catch up with you. I know for years and years, I used to get a New Year's Eve phone call from you. I know that that's...
I didn't want to bother you this last couple of years, but yeah, it's always nice catching up with my friend Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is. Tell your family, I know we're still on the air. Tell your family, I said hi, and my wife says hi, and keep believing. Believe in yourself, keep believing.
Well, Rob. Yeah, and Butch, that I just hope you know, so many people I think are going to be really excited to hear from you on the podcast. That there's so many people that listen to these shows and have, you know, really fond memories of you and from our season. So I just hope that you know how many people are out there still big fans of Butch Lockley.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think we were part of history. And when I say we're part of history, I'm talking about reality TV was just getting started. Survivor was the number one show in America, and it still is very popular. And I think we started it, we kept it going, and we kept it popular. And it's a tribute to all 16 of the people that were on Survivor Amazon. And I appreciate letters and all the support I got, just as you do. And it was something that, gosh, is part of my life. And I thank everybody for it.
But, so nice of you to say, and really, I'm so appreciative that you came on and had this chat with me. Really, really nice to catch up, Butch.
Thank you, Rob. It's always my pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
Okay. All the best to you and the family, Butch.
Thanks, Rob. You have yourself a Merry Christmas, and remember, three more days. Big guy's going to be here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought you were talking about playing your idol. Three more days.
No, not that idol.
Yeah,
my idol will be coming down the chimney. Hope I don't have too big a fire going. Robbie, yeah, well, care, buddy.
Make sure the fire is out before Santa comes down the chimney, Butch.
Yeah, I don't want that. I'm not good. I now have gas logs, Rob.
Good. All right, Butch. Take care, buddy.
Take care, my friend. Goodbye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. The great Butch Lockley. Always a treat to talk with Butch. Hope you guys enjoyed hearing from him as much as I did. And again, a very fun holiday show this year. Hope everybody has a really nice holiday over the weekend. So that's going to do it here for me. But again, let me just say some words of gratitude to the listeners of this podcast. First off, the people that make it to the end of these shows that are not even during the Survivor season. You guys are the true backbone of which this podcast is built on. So again, thank you so much for your support. It's such a great pleasure for me to be able to talk about this nonsense all year long. And thank you guys for making that possible, from the patrons to everybody who supports the shows in different ways. Really, from the bottom of my heart, thank you again so much for another year of nonsense. We've got our year end wrap up show coming up. I'm going to be playing some clips of the best of 2016. That's going to be coming up next week. Plus, we'll also have a live News AF, which may contain some of the best News AF moments of the year coming up on Tuesday. And then we will get back into our regular content in the new year as the Celebrity Apprentice Arnold Schwarzenegger edition kicks off on Monday, January 2nd. So be on the lookout for that. Plus, we're still chasing our Survivor 33 post-season exit interview series. We'll get into that as well in the new year. So very excited about getting back to business once we hit 2017. So I'm hoping to do that and hit the ground running. So once again, thanks so much for listening. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Hope you guys have a fantastic holiday. And if you don't catch any of our shows next week, have a very happy new year. Take care, everybody. Bye.